Gifts are so much fun. Everyone loves to give gifts. I think deep down, if we look, we really like to receive gifts a little bit more than we even like to give them. Because there really truly is no expectation. I mean, you didn't earn it. You just are given a gift. Someone wanted to give you something. I know that we've had our young boys up here, Jake and Ian, and I know that they've recently, one of them had a birthday, and I heard all about the gifts that he was anticipating. Very excited about the possibility of the things he might receive. That's a tangible gift, something you hold. There are gifts that we wish upon our loved ones as well that not necessarily something we can give, but something that can be given to them, something they can receive. The one that comes to my mind would be the gift of love and marriage. I want my children to have a marriage and a love that is just as good as what I have, if not even better, because it's wonderful. It makes life so enjoyable. And it's not really something that I can wrap up and hand to you. It's just something I have to put into the Lord's hands and hope that you find that right person that you become one with and you live your life with and that you share that love with each other. Well, Paul writes today in his letter to the Romans about a gift that he wants everyone to have. It's not one that he can give, but it's a beautiful gift. It's a gift he wants them to know through his preaching, and he prays that with all his heart that they receive it, and realizing that it's only the word that Paul can give, the word of God, through his preaching, through the gospel message of Jesus Christ, that's really capable of stirring up that gift of faith and changing the believer so they can obtain eternal salvation. And Paul writes about it starting out this letter to the Romans. I love how he just jumps right into the meat of things. He doesn't mince words. He doesn't use much punctuation either. But he doesn't mince words. He just jumps right into it. I am so eager to meet you people. He hasn't met them yet. He hasn't met these Romans. But he says, I am so eager to meet you because I've heard about your great faith. Here is a man who has traveled all over. He's traveled from Jerusalem. He's traveled to different parts of Rome, not actually Rome itself. He's preached to the Gentiles. He's preached to the Jews. And he's seen changes. But to these people, these Romans, he's heard about them. Their reputation precedes them. You have great faith. And he's thanking God for the faith they have. I started thinking about some of the things that recently I've heard from members at Lighthouse and how, in a way, this kind of applies to us. I've heard people say, I know when we were giving out, I don't know if it was Thanksgiving or Christmas, when we were giving out the turkeys and the hams to people in the area, they had no idea who was on their doorstep dropping off a turkey. They said, we're from Lighthouse dropping this off. Have a Merry Christmas. Oh, Lighthouse, down in the church on the corner. I've heard about you. Or when I stop in at the borough office and I talk to the borough secretary, I walk in, I say, how you doing, Karen? How's things going? She goes, it's going great. Boy, I just keep hearing so many good things about you at Lighthouse. The things you do. Boy, you got some faith up there. How about let's expanding it a little further? I wonder, as I talk to Pastor Tom Smith, We've done quite a few things, not only financially for Pastor Smith over in Croatia, but we've sent him some things as well. We sent stoles and albs over that he needed for people who were coming into and being ordained into the ministry of Jesus Christ. They didn't have. All they had were shirts. They tried to look as nice as they could, and Tom said, "I'd really like to get an alb for him." We sent albs over. Someone else purchased them from another church in the ministerium, and they said, "Lighthouse, would you mail them?" "Sure." And Tom tells me in his email, "I tell people about you over here all the time. Lighthouse is doing so many things for me, and I in turn give that to the people." I can just imagine someday going over there and walking down the street with Pastor Smith, and he says, "Oh, Amir, come here, I want you to meet someone. Here's someone from Lighthouse in Freedom. I've heard about what you people have done." This is kind of what Paul's going through. Let me give you one more that hits even closer to home, but farther away, and which you've all been a part of. Most of you have been a part of, I think. We've recently started receiving pictures from Malawi. The number of orphans over there brings a tear to my eyes. But they received our pillowcase dresses, and they received our shorts and our shirts. And as I see these hundreds of young children without parents, they finally have new clothes to wear. Can you imagine taking a trip to Malawi and people saying, "These are the people that sewed those clothes together, that sent those boys' shorts over. We've heard about you. We've heard about the things you've done." Paul's hearing that same type of thing. He can't wait to meet these people. And I guarantee you, the people of Croatia would love to meet you. If you're interested in a trip, take a trip over. The people of El Salvador with the Slindies, they've heard about you. They'd love to meet you. And I think we would like to meet them as well. Let your faith be known. We're pretty good at that. Let it be known locally too. Paul was eager to get together with these people because he wanted to share spiritual gifts with them. He wanted to have mutual encouragement. He wanted to produce a harvest. Now think about those three things. Getting together with the people from Croatia or Malawi or El Salvador or Freedom. Wouldn't it be nice to share spiritual gifts? You say, "How do you do that?" Just tell them about Jesus. That's it. And you're imparting and sharing with them something that many of them may have never heard. How about mutual encouragement? People of the faith like to be around other people of the faith. We have such a good time here at Bible study. You know, we laugh, we read, sometimes we've even shed a tear, but we're together. We're all together sharing God's word with each other. And it is encouraging. How about when we're going through some bad times? Wouldn't you love just to call a fellow Christian and say, "I need some prayers today"? It's another way to share spiritual gifts. It's a great way to encourage each other. You know, I'm really down. Things haven't been going right. Everything I touch breaks. And I just need some prayers. Pastor Wilder, he's a man of the cloth. He's the one that typically does the praying. He reached out and said, "Hey, this is really wearing me down. I can't take it anymore. I need some prayers." And that's what we're going to do. But the one that really stands out to me here is Paul says, "I can't wait to come to Rome because I want a harvest." He expects a harvest. "I'm going to come and preach the gospel, and I know that there's going to be some fruit." You know, in the West, we are so impatient with the harvest. Paul expects it. He knows it'll happen. But he also knows it's not on his time. We get ready for the summer. The seed catalogs are already pouring in. We want to plant the seeds. We want to get those little sprouts up and moving. We want to see them growing. We want to give them extra light and make sure they're warm. People don't exactly think that way in the East. On my way here today, for those of you looking for something to do today, the Phipps Conservatory is open. And they have a special display today. I think it's for the week, but I know for sure today. They're displaying their bonsai trees. Now, for those of you who don't know what a bonsai tree is, it's a little tree and you train it to, basically you're trying to make it look old and you prune off just a couple things. It takes years before you have a bonsai tree that actually looks like a bonsai tree. Decades. These trees at Phipps Conservatory are not old in bonsai years, if that's such a phrase. They were started in the early 70s. So they're very, very young bonsai trees. But if you go over to the East, their bonsai trees are hundreds of years old, and they prune them just a little leaf at a time to make them look just perfect. They realize that to see something good, it takes time. Paul knew this. He expects a harvest. He expects there to be fruit. But it's all on God's time. We can learn something from those that take care of bonsai trees and obviously Paul. And he realizes it's worth it. It's worth it to give this gift, this free gift of faith to the people through the preaching of the gospel. He wants them to know that they are in sin and there's nothing they can do to get out of it. Isaiah writes in the 64th chapter, "All of us become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts are like dirty rags." All of our righteous acts, all the things we think that we do, and we puff up our chest and say, "Look how great I am." Rags. Paul says clearly throughout the book of Romans, but in all of his writings, righteousness is a gift. Some translations may even say free gift, just to make sure you don't miss that. Free gift. It's given to us by our God through Jesus Christ. The gift of faith. To be clothed with righteousness. That's why Sen and I have white robes on today. It's symbolic. We're visual beings. It goes over top of our dirty rags and says as we come up in the presence of God, we want to come up looking clean. Symbolic of what Jesus has done for us. He's given us His righteousness. See, this is the one thing we fail to even think about and comprehend. The weight of the cross, it's all about give me your sin. Believe in me. And I'll give you back beautiful, white, pure clothing of righteousness. I'll give you righteousness and a faith that leads to eternal salvation. Okay, what do I got to do? Do I got to come to church all the time? Nope. Okay, well then do I have to give away all my possessions? Nope. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. And when you have that in your heart, yeah, you'll probably come to church. When you have that in your heart, you might give away some of your possessions. Everyone receives and responds to that gift differently, but it's a free gift no matter how you look at it. You can't earn it. You can't rationally think it out. It's just there. And when you realize it, it should make you want to say, thank you. Thank you. It's one thing I've learned about gifts. And it took me a long time to figure this out. People give you gifts and they expect nothing in return. Again, you didn't earn it. But it's always nice to hear someone say, have you come to the Lord and told Him, thank you? I mean, we pray for healing. We pray for people who are sick. We pray for jobs when things aren't going well. But how often have you just sat down and said, thanks? I'm not worthy, but thank you. Paul starts off his gospel saying, I thank God through Jesus Christ for each and every one of you. Because it's all His work and none of yours, none of mine. It is by faith only. And that's his whole point. The whole book of Romans is focused on this. This brought Luther from his knees to where he could walk upright. Luther tried everything. What do I got to do, God? I've joined a monastery. I've moved away from everyone that can cause me to sin. But every time I wake up, within the first couple of minutes, I do something sinful. And as he was translating the book of Romans, this hit him. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith. Now the NIV translates it, that is by faith from first to last, but it's from faith to faith. Your faith, everything about your faith, everything you believe is a gift. It's all about thanking Him and then living for Him. And it's a wonderful, beautiful gift. Sometimes, like Luther, we need to be brought to our knees too. But make sure you always remember what Paul says here. And thank God for the beautiful gift that He's given to you. Every one of you that are here today, it's all because of Him. Amen.